And is there anybody that wants to pass these out up here?
Nope, nobody wants to.
Looks like we've got two. That's good. Compared to last week with a big snowstorm, the Sunday school attendance is really good here. So if we can just keep that up every week, growing that extent, soon we'll be busting out at the seams. So, all right. Well, let's go ahead and open our Sunday school time here in prayer. Father, thank you for the privilege we have of being able to be here in Sunday school, and thank you for giving us this year which we've had to serve you. I pray that you would teach us to number our days and apply our hearts unto wisdom. I pray that you would help me to be clear and effective in teaching this hour. Help all those that are in this class to think about what we're going to be covering, to let it affect their lives and affect the lives of their families for your glory. And we pray that 2014, whatever time there is before the rapture, or if we have the whole year, or you take us at some point in death during the year, that we would live it for your glory, and we would be more glorifying you in 2014 than in 2013. And we pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Sometimes you have New Year's resolutions, and so we have some resolutions here we're going to be looking at. I thought they were quite convicting. I was talking about them some with Heather, and there's a lot of things we're not going to be able to in depth talk about every single one of these. But you can meditate upon these. Edwards would read them every week, so you can read them. I mean, read them over. Don't stop reading your Bible to read Jonathan Edwards' resolutions, obviously, but you can actually read them, meditate upon the different things. They're very scriptural, and you can put verses that relate. By the way, turn to 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31. And you can put verses that relate to each one and kind of tie a verse to the different resolutions and let them affect your life. I think that 1 Corinthians 10:31 needs to be our goal for every year, every day. And it does kind of tie. This is basically what these resolutions, you could boil them down to, 1 Corinthians 10:31. You know, it's interesting, you can see Ben Franklin made resolutions as well. One year he was on a ship, he was traveling back across the United States, and his resolutions were basically how to prosper physically, how to become very financially well off. But they weren't about the glory of God. It was just basically, how can I make it so I can do well in this life? But that isn't what these resolutions were by Edwards. All right, let's read 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. So that is our overarching purpose. And is it a biblical thing to make resolutions of this kind? Well, think about Ephesians 6, we're in a spiritual battle. Typically when you're going to war, you don't just kind of go out there without a plan, unless you want to lose and get your army slaughtered. So you do actually have a plan. You have a battle plan. Things that are less important, we have plans. We have plans about how we want to retire when Social Security goes bust. We have plans about all kinds of things in this life. You know, we make plans. So we should make plans for how we're going to glorify the Lord. We can also see there's verses like in the Old Testament, the Bible says, consider your ways, consider thy ways. So we should consider our ways. We should think about them, evaluate things. So those are some biblical basis for having resolutions of this kind. Now, when you read these resolutions, they're actually pretty amazing. Has anybody read Jonathan Edwards' resolutions before? Okay, three. All right. Do any of you know, you three, how old he was when he wrote these?
He was very young. I don't remember exactly.
He was 18 years old. Okay. He was 18 years old when he wrote these resolutions. So it'd be good to have our 18-year-olds good to have the 34-year-olds who are teaching the class have these kind of resolutions. These are good. Think about that. 18 years old when he wrote these. And when he was 18 years old, now Jonathan Edwards, how many of you don't know anything about Jonathan Edwards? Never heard of him? Okay. Not too many. Most of you have heard. How many of you know, tell me something about Jonathan Edwards. What do you think of Jonathan Edwards? Somebody tell me something about Jonathan Edwards. What did he do? Yeah, he preached this great sermon, Sinners and Hands of an Angry God. He was very, the Lord used him in the first great awakening. Many people being born again. He was many consider him to be America's most prominent theologian. He was a Congregationalist. He's a Baptist now because he's with the Lord. But he was a Congregationalist, and the Lord used him in a great way. And he was the first president of Princeton Seminary. So he was a great, great man of God. But when he was 18 years old, he wasn't Jonathan Edwards. He was this guy named Jonathan, who his last name was Edwards. You see what I mean? It's like he's just a guy who's 18 years old. He's young, and he's just somebody named Jonathan Edwards. Not Jonathan Edwards, just some guy named Jonathan Edwards. But these resolutions were part of why he became who he was. So that's something to think about as well. We're going to read these. I'm going to briefly comment on some of them, and we'll see. Hopefully we'll discuss. If there's ones in particular you want to discuss, you can kind of think about that. They're broken up into categories in the version that I got. Let me just comment on the version that I got here. I got them. I was looking for them on the web, and I got them off the web from the Desiring God website on the back by John Piper. We do not endorse. They said that you have to put the thing on the back there if you do it, so we want to obey copyright laws. But we are not endorsing that website. We are not endorsing John Piper. These resolutions by Edwards are good. But, you know, he uses Christian rap. He's part of a denominational group where they are in fellowship with people who say that God doesn't perfectly foreknow the future. So you think if you really desire God so much, you're not going to offer him false worship and fellowship with people that deny that God perfectly knows the future and stuff like that. So we are not endorsing the website. I wouldn't even say go to the website. I wasn't looking on the website. I just looked on Google for the resolutions. But the resolutions are good, and they were divided up. So, all right. Look at the preface there. Being sensible that I am unable to do anything without God's help, I do humbly entreat him by his grace to enable me to keep these resolutions so far as they are agreeable to his will for Christ's sake. That's an important preface. As you read these resolutions, you might think, he's just really going to work at this and just dig in and do it in his own strength. And obviously, we need to work at serving the Lord. We need to resolve to do that and strive to do that with all our might. But he was depending on the Lord's grace for these things. It wasn't this just sort of an empty moralism. He needed, I need the Lord to strengthen me by his grace for these things. That's an important preface to all these resolutions. I need the Lord's grace for doing these resolutions. And then he said, remember to read over these resolutions once a week. Overall life mission. Resolved that I will do whatsoever I think to be most to God's glory and my own good, profit, and pleasure in the whole of my duration, in this whole life, without any consideration of the time, whether now or never so many myriads of ages hence. So whatever time it is, whatever the situation, do whatever's most to God's glory. Not just whatever you can scrape by on. Resolve to do whatever I think to be my duty and most for the good and advantage of mankind in general. So love God with all your heart, with his glory, love man, your neighbors, yourself. Resolve to do this, whatever difficulties I meet with, how many and how great soever. However many difficulties are, I'm going to glorify the Lord. 2, resolve to be continually endeavoring to find out some new invention and contrivance to promote the aforementioned things. He was pretty edumacated too, so he used some big words sometimes. But so here, how can I most fulfill this? What can I do? What are new ways that I can actually glorify the Lord in my life? And we can think about that in 2014. What are some new ways that I can glorify the Lord? 3, resolved if ever I shall fall and grow dull, so as to neglect to keep any part of these resolutions, to repent of all I can remember when I come to myself again. So you know what? Well, I messed up on obeying resolution number 3 today, so I'm just chucking it, and I'm just going to give up. No, he doesn't have that method of doing things. 4, resolved never to do any manner of thing, whether in soul or body, less or more, but what tends to the glory of God, nor be nor suffer it if I can avoid it. Suffer meaning, like in the Bible, endure. So in other words, I'm going to do whatever I can to the glory of God. And if other people aren't glorifying the Lord, I'm going to try to stop that. I want everyone to glorify the Lord. And I'm going to not tolerate that not happening in my church, if possible, in the world, with people around me. Resolve to live with all my might while I do live. I have a certain span of time. I'm going to live and do it for the glory of God. Resolve to endeavor to obtain for myself as much happiness in the other world as I possibly can, with all the power, might, vigor, and vehemence, yea, violence I am capable of, or can bring myself to exert in any way that can be thought of. So I want to have the most glory in the other world that I possibly can, and I'm going to work really hard at it. And I'm going to just really strive to have that take place, because that's really what's the most important thing. Let's strive for that, not for some less significant things. Resolve never to do anything but duty. And then, according to Ephesians 6:6-8, do it willingly and cheerfully as unto the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord. So I'm going to do my duty, and it's not going to be, I'm going to do my duty. I'm going to do my duty cheerfully, happily, unto the Lord for his glory. That's a good overall life mission, I think. What do you think? Does that sound like a pretty good overall life mission? Yeah, I think so. Resolved, when I think of any theorem in divinity to be solved, immediately to do what I can towards solving it if circumstances don't hinder. What's he saying there? Well, I want to be using my mind to meditate upon the truths of God and try to think about the truth of God and learn as much as I can about the truth of God and put it all together. So my goal, know as much as I can about the truth of the Lord. Resolve to be endeavoring to find out fit objects of charity and liberality. So I'm actively seeking to how I can do good to my fellow man. I'm actively seeking that. That would certainly include giving him the gospel, trying to reach as many of the people there as I can with the gospel, and just being a blessing to people. I'm actively seeking how can I be a blessing to other people. Resolved always to do that which I shall wish I had done when I see others do it. That's pretty good. Yeah. Hey, look what he... Yeah, that was a good idea. Well, you know, that's what I want to be like. He's following the godly example. But seeing a godly example, hey, let's do that. I want to be like that. If you're in your house, that you're you're certainly not going to be the person who's trying to pass off the kids, trying to pass off the chores to everybody else. You know, he would actually be trying to be helpful. Time management. Resolve never to lose one moment of time, but improve it in the most profitable way I possibly can. Redeeming the time because the days are evil, right? Time is, in one sense, time is the most valuable thing you have because you can never get it back. If you are the multi-million, billion, gazillionaire, you aren't going to extend your life any more than what you've got. So time is extremely precious. We need to use every moment for the Lord. Only what's done for Christ will last. And it isn't just, notice he doesn't just say I want it to be profitable somehow, but the most profitable I can. If there's two profitable things and one is more than the other, I want to do the most profitable thing. Whatever is going to be most useful for the glory of God and whatever will most advance his kingdom, that's what I want to do. Resolve never to do anything which I should be afraid to do if it were the last hour of my life, living in the light of eternity. Resolve that I will live so as I shall wish I had done when I come to die. So you can be like Paul. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. I'm looking back, and I want to say that when it's my time to die, I live for the Lord, and I don't have regrets. Resolve to live so at all times as I think is best in my devout frames, and when I have clearest notions of the things of the gospel in another world. So when I'm the most spiritually clear in my mind, that's how I want to live. Whatever seems like the right thing to do when I'm most focused on the truth and I'm most close to the Lord, I want to live that way. Resolve never to do anything which I should be afraid to do if I expected it would not be above an hour before I should hear the last trump. So if you knew it was less than an hour to the rapture, how would you live? Or what would you live like? Well, then live like that. Resolve to inquire every night as I am going to bed wherein I have been negligent, what sin I have committed, and wherein I have denied myself. Also at the end of every week, month, and year. So keeping short accounts with the Lord. You know, in the model prayer, one of the things to pray is forgive us of our sins. So notice he doesn't say, you know, perhaps I've sinned. He knows that that indwelling sin is always there. So he's confessing his sin every day and thinking, well, you know, how can I not sin this way anymore? So he's taking his sin very seriously. And he doesn't want to be, and also seeing how was I successful in serving the Lord? Were there ways that I denied myself and I got victory over sin and I was honoring the Lord? Well, praise God. How did that happen? I want to make that happen more. This is what people do, you know, basketball coaches do after the basketball game, right? They talk about what was a good strategy, bad strategy. When I play chess tournaments, after you play a game, you have something called a post-mortem, which is where you discuss what was a good strategy, bad strategy. Well, he's doing that with his life. That's a lot more important than a chess game or a basketball game. So it's a good example there. Resolve to inquire every night before I go to bed whether I have acted in the best way I possibly could with respect to eating and drinking. So did I honor the Lord in my food consumption? Was I temperate in that? I remember Wally said that he'd never heard somebody preach a whole message on gluttony. So John Edwards didn't want gluttony, all right? He didn't want that. So next one. Resolve to ask myself at the end of every day, week, month, and year, wherein I could possibly in any respect have done better. So how can I, you know, work? How can I do better? Resolved, I will act so as I think I shall judge would have been best and been most prudent when I come into the future world. So when I'm with the Lord, what would have been the best course of action from that perspective? Resolved that I will act so in every respect as I think I shall wish I had done if I should at last be damned. You say, oh, well, that's kind of a weird one. I think what he's saying there is whatever would not displease God and kind of make him angry. In other words, whatever would prevent that from happening. I think that's what he's saying in that one. That one sounds a little bit weird, but I think that's what he's saying. I frequently hear persons in old age say how they would live if they were to live their lives over again. Resolve that I will live just so as I can think I shall wish I had done, supposing I live to old age. So people say, I wish I had done this. Well, I'm going to do that now. Here is an 18-year-old. Resolve to endeavor to my utmost to act as I can think I should do if I had already seen the happiness of heaven and hell torments. So if I'd already literally seen heaven and hell, live the way now as if I'd actually seen it. And, you know, we have in the Bible a more sure word of prophecy. So we have right here because God's told us we've got it. So we have it. So let's live in that way. Resolve that I will not give way. That would also certainly, you know, if you're not involved in getting the gospel out regularly, you're not coming out to soul winning, you're not going out, I don't think you're really going to be living in light of that resolution. If you actually thought that person is going to be in torment forever. Resolve that I will not give way to that listlessness, which I find unbends and relaxes my mind from being fully and fixedly set on religion. Whatever excuse I may have for it, that what my listlessness inclines me to do is best to be done, etc. So I'm not going to be lazy. I'm going to be no sloth. I'm going to be working hard at this. And I'm going to keep my mind focused and set on the things of God. Relationships. Resolved, never to do anything out of revenge. Oh, by the way, the headings were put in by somebody else. Okay, just he didn't put that. They were actually, you notice at the front, they're all the numbers are out of order. It's because this guy categorized them. Okay, I think it's a helpful categorization, just so you know, for historical accuracy. So never do anything out of revenge. He did it to me, I'm going to do it to him. I'm not going to do that. Resolved, never to suffer the least motions of anger to irrational beings. That's pretty good. In other words, you know, the donkey isn't doing whatever. He doesn't want to do that. This is just a beast. Why am I getting angry at it? Resolve, never to speak evil of anyone so that it shall tend to his dishonor, more or less, upon no account, except for some real good. So no gossip. I'm not going to speak evil of anybody. I mean, if there is a false teacher, as I'm a pastor, I need to expose it. That's acceptable. That needs to be done. But I will not speak evil of anybody except for a real good. Not just because I feel like it's kind of chewing the fat to gossip. Resolve never to say anything at all against anybody, but when it is perfectly agreeable to the highest degree of Christian honor and of love to mankind, agreeable to the lowest humility and sense of my own faults and failings, and agreeable to the golden rule. Often, when I have said anything against anyone, to bring it to and to try it strictly by the test of this resolution. How many church splits do you think you would have if we actually lived by that one? That'd probably get rid of those, huh? Yeah. Resolve a lot of family issues, too. Resolved, always to do what I can, even employer, employee. Resolved always to do what I can towards making, maintaining, establishing, and preserving peace when it can be without overbalancing detriment in other respects. So I want peace. I'm pursuing peace. I love peace. The only thing I love peace more than peace is the honor of God. If you can't maintain the honor of God and peace, well, we got to go with the honor of God. But whenever that's not a conflict, I want peace. I love peace. I'm a peaceable, peace-loving person. Fruit of the Spirit. Resolved in narrations never to speak anything but the pure and simple verity. Verity means truth. So I'm just going to tell the truth, whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help me God. All right? So that's what he's going to do. Not shading it a little bit to make himself look better. Just tell the truth. Resolved never to speak evil of any except I have some particular good call for it. So again, no, don't say anything bad about anybody unless there's a real, specific, clear, good reason. Resolve, never to allow the least measure of any fretting uneasiness at my father or mother. Resolve to suffer no effects of it, so much as in the least alteration of speech or motion of my eye, and to be especially careful of it with respect to any of our family. So I'm going to honor my father and my mother. He's an adult now, but he says, I'm going to honor my father and my mother. And I'm not going to show disrespect in the least way in my speech. And you can communicate a lot just in your tone. My tone is going to be honoring to them. What I say is going to be honoring to them. You can communicate with your without speaking too. You know, the Bible talks about an angry countenance makes the gossiper. That's communicating. You know, you can say, yes, sir. You're communicating, aren't you? All right. So I'm not going to allow the least anything in my eye, anything in my speech to be other than what would honor my parents. That would be a good standard to enforce. Try to enforce that for parents with their kids. I think he got that because that's what his parents are trying to enforce with him. Let's see, where are we here? All right. And then especially with other people in the family too. Not just the father and mother, but other people in the family too. My brothers, my sisters, whatever. I'm going to not dishonor them, but honor them. Resolve not only to refrain from an air of dislike, fretfulness, and anger in conversation, but to exhibit an air of love, cheerfulness, and benignity. That's a good one. So in conversation, not only to have a negative, not just the negative of not speaking in such a way that you convey dislike, but positively in my whole demeanor, to show love and kindness and cheerfulness. That's a pretty good resolution. Resolved, when I am most conscious of provocations to ill nature and anger, that I will strive most to feel and act good-naturedly. Yea, at such times the manifest good nature, though I think that in other respects it would be disadvantageous, and so as would be imprudent in other times. So when I'm most being provoked, don't lash out. I need to most strive by the grace of God to be not that way, to be good natured, to act kindly, especially when there's that provocation. Resolved that I will endeavor always to keep a benign aspect, an air of acting and speaking in all places and in all companies, except it should so happen that duty requires otherwise. So benign, good. So good, kind, this kind of good demeanor. Now, if, you know, he was in a situation, he was actually a pastor already, if there's a situation where he needs to actually strongly rebuke someone, he'll do that. But overall, benign, you know, this is his aspect. He's somebody who you're not, when you see him coming, you're not, I'm getting away from him. Who knows what he's going to say? You know, there's kindness there. It's approachable. Let there be something of benevolence in all that I speak. That's a good one, huh? Wow. How about suffering? What's his attitude towards suffering? Resolved to think much on all occasions of my own dying and of the common circumstances which attend death. And we like to pretend we're not going to die, but we really are, and you might as well think about it. Resolved when I feel pain to think of the pains of martyrdom and of hell. So I have pain, praise God, I'm not going to hell. And, you know, I need to be ready to suffer for the Lord. Those are things you could think about when you have pain. Resolved after afflictions to inquire what I am the better for them, what good I've got for them, and what I might have got by them. The Bible says that afflictions are supposed to strengthen us spiritually. Well, let's think it through. How has this affliction strengthened me? How can I have gotten more strengthened by it than I was? Maybe then I don't need as much affliction. I don't need as much chastisement. Okay? What good have I got by these afflictions? Resolved when I fear misfortunes and adversities to examine whether I have done my duty, and resolved to do it, and let it be just as Providence orders it. I will, as far as I can, be concerned about nothing but my duty and my sin. So when I'm afraid of trouble, I'm not thinking about the circumstances. If I honor the Lord here, what's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to me? No. What's my duty? And what would be sinful to do? That's what I'm going to be focused upon when I'm afraid of trouble. When there's misfortune that might be coming. Character. Resolutions in relation to character. Resolved to act in all respects, both speaking and doing, as if nobody had been so vile as I, and as if I had committed the same sins or had the same infirmities or failings as others, and that I will let the knowledge of their failings promote nothing but shame in myself, and prove only an occasion of my confessing my own sins and misery to God. And you can see that in biblical godly people, like Paul in Romans 7 saw his sinfulness. You know, today we often have the, in our sort of self-centered society, you know, the idea that we should strive to see ourselves as bad as possible is really thought down on. But biblically, you humble yourself and God exalts you. We actually can't see ourselves as sinful as God sees us, because he sees us worse than anything we can even comprehend. And when we do, we'll also appreciate the grace of God more and the love of Christ. So, and I'm going to speak and act in light of the fact that I'm sinful. I'm a sinner, and that'll help me have compassion upon other people when I speak with them. That person's fault that really gets on my nerves, well, I'm actually a very wicked person who deserves damnation. And that's a good perspective to have when, you know, the person does this little whatever that gets under your skin. Resolved, if I take delight in it as a gratification of pride or vanity, or on any such account, immediately to throw it by. I think that's in relation to the previous one too, where if basically whatever you do, if trying to do something in here, if it starts to build up pride, we don't want that. Pride is really bad. We hate pride, and we don't want, and we want nothing to do with any pride or vanity. And remember, in these resolutions, you could read this and think, well, this guy must have been like an angel. Well, remember the first one. This needs trusting in the grace of God for this. This is not just, I'm just going to do this by my bootstraps. I need the grace of the Lord to keep these resolutions. Next one. Resolve, never do anything which if I should see in another, I should count a just occasion to despise him for, or to think any way the more meanly of him. So here, if I see somebody else do something, and if I did something, and if somebody else did what I was doing right now, it would make me think more lowly of him. Well, that would be something that wouldn't be an honorable thing. So I'm not going to do that. Resolve to be strictly and firmly faithful to my trust, a faithful man who can find. So I'm going to keep my word. If I say it's going to happen, it's going to happen. I'm going to do what I commit to do. Resolve to endeavor to my utmost to deny whatever is not most agreeable to a good and universally sweet and benevolent, quiet, peaceable, contented, easy, compassionate, generous, humble, meek, modest, submissive, obliging, diligent and industrious, charitable, even, patient, moderate, forgiving, sincere temper, and to do at all times what such a temper would lead me to do. Examine strictly every week whether I have done so. Now he's examining himself for these things. You know, these resolutions are really great, but keep in mind he thought of these things too, which shows he was really, whatsoever is good, lovely, just, pure, of good report, he was really trying to think on those things. Because he, even all those adjectives about what was honorable, he was thinking about different things he could actually explain. These are what I'm going to be meditating on. So I'm trying to really focus upon honoring the Lord in my life. Whenever I hear anything spoken in conversation of any person, if I think it would be praiseworthy in me, resolve to endeavor to imitate it. No, brother so-and-so, this is what he did in that situation. Hey, that's great. I should imitate that. I'm going to follow him as he follows Christ. I'm going to try to honor that and do that godly thing in my life also. You know, our pastor is a good example of this. Well, I'll follow him in that. That's great. Next one. On the supposition that there never was to be but one individual in the world at any one time who is properly complete Christian in all respects of a right stamp, having Christianity always shining in its true luster and appearing excellent and lovely from whatever part and under whatever character viewed, resolved to act just as I would do if I strove with all my might to be that one who should live in my time. Basically, you know, if there's a godly man like Daniel, who is famous for being godly, so that Ezekiel can say if there are three just men on the earth, Daniel and Job, and I can't remember the other one, who the other one was. But I want to be like that. I want to be that godly person who is honoring the Lord in my life. Resolve never willfully to omit anything except the omission be for the glory of God, and frequently to examine my omissions. I didn't do this thing. It was because it was glorifying to the Lord not to do it. Resolve never to do anything that I so much question the lawfulness of as that I intend at the same time to consider and examine afterwards whether it be lawful or no, except I as much question the lawfulness of the omission. So here's this thing. I don't know whether this is right or not, but I'll just do it, and afterwards I'll think about whether it's right. Nope. I need to be sure that it's the right thing. I'm not going to do it unless I'm even more sure that it'd be wrong to leave it out. Some godly duty where it's very obvious they need not do it. So whatever questionable things, I'm going to take the high road for sure on questionable things. Resolve to maintain the strictest temperance in eating and drinking. Spiritual life. Resolve to examine carefully and constantly what that one thing in me is, which causes me in the least to doubt of the love of God and direct all my forces against it. What is in there in me that would make me doubt the love of God? Well, God is displeased with doubting his love. We need to receive his love. I can imagine if your spouse was always, do you really love me? You wouldn't like that, would you? You would think, why are you asking me this? This is not pleasing to me. Well, you know, of course I love you. And so, what about that way with God? You know, so here, don't doubt God's love. I don't want that. The Father is a God of love. I want to receive his love and not doubt his love. Resolve to cast such things away as I find to abate my assurance. Whatever keeps me from having assurance of salvation, I don't want it. I don't want it in my life. And that would certainly be different sins in your life. I don't want those things. Resolve constantly with the utmost diligence and the strictest scrutiny to be looking into the state of my soul, that I may know whether I have truly an interest in Christ or no, that when I come to die, I may not have any negligence respecting this to repent of. So I want to have full assurance, examine myself whether I'm in the faith, and honor the Lord in that way. Resolved this shall never be if I can help it. Never be that I would lack assurance. Scriptures. Resolved to study the scriptures so steadily, constantly, and frequently as that I may find and plainly perceive myself to grow in the knowledge of the same. So it wasn't just my goal is to read through the Bible once this year. I want to make it so that at the end of the year, it's evident that I know the Bible better than I did at the beginning of the year. I'm reading it, I'm studying it, I'm meditating on it. So at the end of the year, I can clearly see I have greater knowledge of God's Word than I did at the beginning. That's a good goal. Prayer. Resolve never to count that a prayer, nor to let that pass as a prayer, nor that as a petition of a prayer, which is so made that I cannot hope that God will answer it, nor that as a confession, which I cannot hope that God will accept. I'm going to be genuine in my prayer life. I mean, if I actually can't think God's going to answer this prayer, it's not really prayer. Resolved, when I find those groanings which cannot be uttered, of which the apostle speaks, and those breakings of soul for the longing that it hath, of which the psalmist speaks, that I will promote them to the utmost of my power, and that I will not weary of earnestly endeavoring to vent my desires, nor of the repetitions of such earnestness. So as the Holy Spirit is working in my life to pray with groanings that cannot be uttered, I'm going to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to actually allow cooperate with his work and not hinder his work in my life. The Lord's Day. Resolved never to speak anything that is ridiculous, sportive, or matter of laughter on the Lord's Day. Man, he took the Lord's Day seriously. I mean, that's taking the Lord's Day pretty seriously. Wow. Resolved to strive to my utmost every week to be brought higher in religion and do a higher exercise of grace than I was the week before. I want to be growing. I really want to be growing. Vivification of righteousness will be growing in life, growing in spiritual righteousness in life. Resolve frequently to renew the dedication of myself to God, which was made in my baptism, which I solemnly renewed when I was received into the communion of the church, and which I have solemnly remade this 12th day of January, boom, the day he made it. So I'm going to renew my commitment to God, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Now, he unfortunately was talking about infant baptism there, but we do dedicate ourselves to the Lord in baptism, don't we? We're publicly testifying that we're dedicated to the Lord. That's great, and we need to keep that dedication, surrender to the Lord. Resolve, never henceforward till I die, to act as if I were any way my own, but entirely and altogether God's, agreeable to what to be found in the other one. So I'm going to live under the Lord. God, I belong to God. Resolve that no other end but religion shall have any influence at all on any of my actions, and that no action shall be in the least circumstance any other than a religious end will carry it. Resolve never to allow any pleasure or grief, joy or sorrow, nor any affection at all, nor any degree of affection, nor any circumstance relating to it, but what helps religion. I'm casting my weights aside. I want everything to be for the Lord. Resolve frequently to take some deliberate action, which seems most unlikely to be done for the glory of God, and trace it back to its original intention, designs, and ends of it. And if I find it not to be for God's glory, to repute it as a breach of the fourth resolution. So if I see something in my life that seems like it's not for the glory of God, I'm not just examining the surface thing. Well, what led me to do that? What brought me to this wrong course of action? I want to get out the root cause of that sin. Whatever that not just the actual thing, but whatever underlying sinful thing in my heart brought me to that. I want to deal with the heart problem, the root cause of the sin. Resolved, whenever I do any conspicuously evil action, to trace it back till I come to the original cause. And then both carefully endeavor to do so no more, and to fight and pray with all my might against the original of it. I can't do this on my own. I need to trust the Lord, and I'm going to fight and pray against it with all my might, and the Lord will strengthen me to get victory over the original cause of it. Resolved, whenever I so much question whether I have done my duty, as that my quiet and calm is thereby disturbed, set it down, and also how the question was resolved. I'm not going to allow something that's bothering my conscience to just sit there. If I'm not sure my conscience is bothered, my peace is bothered, the Holy Spirit's working in my life, I'm going to take care of it and see, okay, is this clearly right or clearly wrong? I'm not just going to keep going with something that bothers my conscience. Resolved to confess frankly to myself, be honest to myself in all that which I find in myself, either infirmity or sin. And if it be what concerns religion, also to confess the whole case to God and implore needed help. So I'm going to be honest and confess my sin and infirmities to the Lord. Resolve, never to give over, nor in the least to slacken my fight with my corruptions, however unsuccessful I may be. I've sinned, I fail. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to trust the Lord and keep going. I'm going to confess the sin, and I'm going to keep going on and striving by the grace of God to mortify sin. Resolve to improve every opportunity when I am the best and happiest frame of mind to cast and venture my soul on the Lord Jesus Christ, to trust and confide in Him and consecrate myself wholly to Him, that from this I may have assurance of my safety, knowing that I confide in my Redeemer. I'm going to trust in the Lord in my life. Resolve very much to exercise myself in this all my life long, vis-a-vis, that's what that means, with the greatest openness I'm capable of, to declare my ways to God and lay open my soul to Him. All my sins, temptations, difficulties, sorrows, fears, hopes, desires, and everything, and in every circumstance, according to the sermon that the Lord used in His life. So I'm going to take all my needs and burdens to the Lord and lay them all before Him and bring them to Him and seek His grace. That basically took most of our, pretty much the whole Sunday school time. But does anybody have any comments on these resolutions? There's a lot you could say. I would suggest talk about them, talk about a few of them a day at home and go through these things. Yes?
I think I remember there were quite a few more resolutions.
Maybe he did. At least what I found, there were 70. And there's 70 here, and they're kind of all numbered together. I mean, he probably did resolve other things too, but at least what I found, it seemed like there were 70. There was one where it was just all listed, and I saw this one where it was broken up. I thought, that one. But yeah, it's very possibly there were. So, there were quite a number of those that were very convicting to me. And I think that that would be great if when we were 18 years old ourselves, that this is how we were thinking, don't you think? And it would be great, a great goal for, you know, if you have kids, this is where you want your kids to be. Okay, and if we're this way ourselves, it'll sure help our kids to be that way, you know, if we're aiming them in the right direction. He had godly parents that were pointing him in the right way, and they were careful to lead him in the paths of righteousness, and that's why he had made resolutions like this. That's why he was thinking these things through. Anybody have any, yes, do you have something you want to say? No? I thought I saw a hand raise. Okay, yes, and then we're going to be done. Amen. Amen. Yeah. And having that resolution ahead of time will make it so you're less likely to fold when the trial comes. If you're determined ahead of time, I'm going to do what's right. So there's a lot we could talk about with these things. A lot. Just reading it was very convicting to me. things to confess in my life. So let these things work in your life. Tie verses of Scripture to them so that the actual inspired Word of God is specifically connected to these things. And let's make 2014 a year where we're really doing all for the glory of God. And I think that if we do, the Lord will definitely quicken the spiritual life in our church and we'll see Him do great things. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this example of this godly man and the resolutions he made here at this time. And as we come into a new year and we have the opportunity to serve You in this new year, I pray You teach us to number our days, to be focused upon and diligent in serving You, and really recognizing that as the most important thing. And I pray that by Your grace and by the strength of Christ that You would strengthen us, that in 2014 we would really be focused upon Your glory and loving You with all our heart, soul, and mind and our neighbors ourselves, and that it would affect our lives in these ways and in many other ways in our lives, and that You'd strengthen our church to be more resolved and more focused upon glorifying You. And we pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen.